Hello, this is Brian Carnell, also known as Glumpuddle. Welcome to Talking Beast, the Narnia podcast. It's not going to be our typical episode today. And if you've been looking on our social media pages, you'll already know why. But the Narnia Web family has suffered a tragedy just a few days ago. Rillian's 2.5-year-old son passed away very, very suddenly. That's all we can say for now, but it was extremely sudden. So obviously we're all grieving about that and just can't even fathom what Rillian's going through right now. We have set up a way where listeners can donate to Rillian and his family to help cover funeral expenses. There's a GoFundMe link in the description. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I would ask that you please consider giving a gift, no matter how small. Rillian was the founder of the podcast and has been in almost every episode since 2006 when he started it. He's the one that he came to me and said, "Hey, would you mind helping promote this podcast I just created?" And I said, "What's a podcast?" And here we are. And more than that, obviously, he's my friend. We had an episode that was recorded a few weeks ago, and it was all edited and ready to go, but it just didn't feel right with the founder of the podcast grieving. We knew I can't just post it to standard episode. Leave it at that. So we're going to post that at a later date. And it didn't feel right to be silent either, though. It didn't feel right just to say, okay, we're going to take a break for a while while we're grieving. That didn't feel right either. So I'm just gonna talk for a bit about things that have been on my heart the past week and longer, really. And especially with, we had the shootings in El Paso and Dayton this past weekend. And the loss of life there and the suffering there. So just couldn't just do a standard episode. So I'm here at a park right now, just about 10 minutes walk from my house, and the sun's going down on my right, and straight ahead there's an empty playground. It's quiet here. And I just want to talk about some things that have been on my mind for a while, especially this past week. I lost my grandfather a couple years ago. He was in his 80s. I talked about that on a recent one of the Horse and His Boy episodes, I think. And it's like I talked about, I think, in that episode. It's just such a reminder, because he was in his 80s. And so you want to respond with, in a way, the rational response is, hey, this is normal. I mean, he lived a good life, but we don't expect that many people to live past 80. We should say, hey, he lived a good life. This should be happy. It doesn't feel like it. That seems logical in some ways. You doubt it. Now I say, no, this is not normal. Like, why is death a thing? Why is there pain? Why does the world have to be like this? It's not normal. It happens all the time, but yet it's not normal. And like with these shootings that becoming more and more common, it's so easy for them to become normal. And I'll admit, it was when I'm scrolling through my news app and the shootings, the headlines come up. The headline comes up about the shooting, and my impulse was not to click on it. I was kind of. My first impulse was, oh, another one. That's really, I think about that. Wow, it's that normal. So it's maybe frequent, but it doesn't feel like it's normal. Why should it have to be this way? And it's been something, obviously, I thought about a lot with my grandfather, but I even thought about before this tragic weekend. Just a few days before, I was at a reading group about the Silver Chair. It was on a college campus. There were about 15 people there. And we were focusing on the last chapter. King Caspian is reunited with his son. A moment after being reunited, he then dies. And then we follow him to the afterlife, basically, Aslan's country. And we see him. He looks like his younger self, and it's sort of a happy ending, right? But what really has always struck me recently, especially about that scene, is that, yes, Aslan brings him back to life, and Eustace plucks drives the splinter into his paw, and a drop of blood washes over Caspian, and then he wakes up in the afterlife. But before that, Aslan mourns. Of course, Jill and Eustace do, but that's not shocking, but Aslan, this all-powerful being, that'd be amazing enough, this all-powerful being is mourning. Even though he's about to bring him back to life. In about 30 seconds, he's going to bring him back to life, and yet he pauses and mourns. And there's, I guess there's an echo of that in The Magician's Nephew. Diggory, I guess basically for the first time, looks at Aslan right in the eyes, looks straight at Aslan and says, will you, can you give me something to cure my mother who's dying? And the book says something like, what Diggory saw surprised him more than anything in his life. That there were tears in the lion's eye. There were tears in Aslan's eyes. This, we just witnessed how powerful this creature is, Aslan. He just created an entire world. But he mourns. Even though presumably Aslan knows this, I guess, right? He's going to give Diggory the apple, and Diggory's going to take it back to his mother. His mother's going to eat it, and, happily ever after, right? And Aslan knows this, and yet he pauses and he cries. He mourns. He experiences real grief. And it's hard not to see, C.S. Lewis, the author, there being some wish fulfillment there, because Lewis lost his own mother. Lewis was only a few years younger than Diggory when he lost his own mother to cancer. And Lewis prayed and prayed and prayed that his mother would be healed. And when she died, he prayed and prayed and prayed that she would be brought back to life. After that, that started Lewis on a road that led to atheism for a long time. He was an atheist for many, many years before finally converting to Christianity. But so now C.S. Lewis is writing this, and you'd say, well, this would be his perfect world, right? Like, isn't fantasy the ultimate idea of escapism? You can make your perfect world the world the way we want it to be. In a way he does, in a way he doesn't. There's still death in his world. He creates a world where there is an afterlife. We don't have to debate what happens to you after you die. We don't have to do that here because, whatever you believe about that in real life, in the world of this story, there is an afterlife. And we actually see a character in the Silver Chair die and go to the afterlife. So we don't have to have that discussion. But even though that's indisputably true in the world of the story, still characters mourn. And actually, same scene in Magician's Nephew. Aslan tells Diggory, I know grief is great. Only you and I in this world know that. Because Narnia is not very old. It's only hours old. And there wasn't evil and suffering initially. That had to be brought there by Diggory from the outside. It's not normal. Something's gone wrong. That's where death comes from. Something's gone wrong. And it's so easy because we see people die all the time, and we see whether it's our own people that we know or whether it's just turning on the news. It's common. It happens all the time. But is it normal? And in Lewis's Narnia, it's not. It's not normal. And obviously C.S. Lewis in real life did not believe it was normal. Anything but that. So I don't really have any kind of a closing thought or happy ending. I can't. I got nothing. But those are some thoughts I have, and that's what I've been reminded of this past week. So I think once again, please consider donating to Really Ince Family. We've got a GoFundMe page. I'll have the link in the description. Please, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, would please, I don't, if it's $5, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Don't care how big or small, would really be helpful if Rillian could feel the impact of, the community that he helped to create right now when he's, when his family is suffering. So I'm going to leave with, just going to close here with a clip from something I've listened to very much, a lot, especially in the past couple of years. And it's a clip from a lecture my grandfather gave. My grandfather was an English professor, and he wrote his dissertation on the theme of longing in the works of C.S. Lewis. And, the lecture he gave here was about C.S. Lewis's book, The Problem of Pain, where Lewis was writing about suffering in the world and trying to sort of discuss the question of why is there suffering in the world? Why is there evil in the world? So I'm just going to leave with that. Thank you so much for listening. And again, this will be a clip of my grandfather. This will be him reading an excerpt from The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis. Thank you.
There have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts we have ever desired anything else. You may have noticed that the books you really love are bound together by a secret thread. You know very well what is the common quality that makes you love them, though you cannot put it into words. And most of your friends do not see it at all, and often wonder why, liking this, you should also like that. Are not all lifelong friendships born at the moment when at last you meet another human being who has some inkling, but faint and uncertain, even in the best, of that something which you were born desiring? From childhood to old age, you are looking for, watching for, listening for. You have never had it. All the things that have ever deeply possessed your soul have been but hints of it, tantalizing glimpses, promises never quite fulfilled, echoes that died away just as they caught your ear. But if it should really become manifest, if there ever came an echo that did not die away, but swelled into the sound itself, you would know it. You would say, here is the thing at last I was made for. He's talking here about Sehnsucht, longing. It is the secret signature of each soul, the incommunicable and unappeasable want, the thing we desired before we met our wives or made our friends or chose our work, and which we shall still desire on our deathbeds when the mind no longer knows wife or friend or work. God will look to every soul like its first love, because he is its first love. Your place will seem to be made for you and you alone, because you were made for it.